Good evening. Welcome to Families and Recovery, a radio broadcast sponsored by City of Angels. And my name is Bill, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hello, how you doing?
We'd like to welcome you to this month's show. It's called Detachment, and hold on a second. Wait, why are you leaning on me like that? Wait, why are you so close? Why do you have your arms around me? Stop it. I'm getting smothered here. Would you back off? Come on, stop it. I can't breathe. Wait, I can't breathe. I'm saying back. I don't know what's going. Why are you sitting on my lap? Why are you hugging me? Wait, are you stalking me? Would you please back away? Stop it. You're just so clingy. I don't know what to do. Oh, my goodness.
I don't really think that's the detachment we're going to take care of, but whatever.
Oh, I thought that was it. Our show tonight is called Detachment. And we're going to hope you enjoy that tonight. But before we start our show, I just want to talk a little bit about City of Angels. They've reworked their website, so please go visit it, cityofangelsnj.org. And Art A has reworked this website, done a beautiful job, fantastic. So check it out. I love the layout of it. And right from that front page, you could see recovery coaches. You got tabs for like addiction news, walking with angels, recovery coaches, interventions. Click on that contact us tab. You could go right on down and see events that are planned there. There's right down on the front page, click on the radio program, coaradio.com, and you could click on it right there. Also, I love it because it has a City of Angels calendar with all the programs going on. And there are just programs every day. You could see them. They just label Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, what times they are right there at City of Angels in Groveville, New Jersey. So check it out. It's a really lovely site. And of course, if you go to coaradio.com, you'll see our webpage. It says Family and Recovery, and you click on that, and it brings you to our site for Families and Recovery, and it shows all of our past shows. They call them on-demand shows. Go back and check out some of our shows. You know what I think about for the summer right now? We did a show back in December, How to Survive the Holidays. It was a very good show talking about how to set healthy boundaries with your addict in your life. Check out that show because you can use that show now for all the picnics that are going on and the place you're going to where alcohol is going to be there and you're going there and your addict may be there. And how do you set healthy boundaries? So check that out, How to Survive the Holiday Season, back in December on our on-demand shows at coaradio.com. But we all have other ones like Unhealthy Side of Enabling. We have Over-Functioning, Under-Functioning, Action and Reaction, and just program after program. Matter of fact, next month, July, will be our one-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's so cool.
One whole year. So
hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And we had some great experiences this past year and working with people in recovery and families that are just trying to learn how to survive with their addict in their life and be healthier in the way they interact with their life. So welcome to tonight's program called Detachment. And I'm going to have my lovely wife read our charge.
So I picked the Language of Letting Go book again, and it's page 94, April 5th, Detaching in Love. Detachment is a key to recovery from codependency. It strengthens our healthy relationships, the ones that we want to grow and flourish. It benefits our difficult relationships, the ones that are teaching us to cope. It helps us. Detachment is not something we do once. It is a daily behavior in recovery. We learn it when we're beginning our class, our recovery from codependency, and adult children issues. And we continue to practice it all along the way as we grow and change and as our relationship grows and changes. We learn to let go of people we love, people we like, and those we don't particularly care for. We separate ourselves and our process from others and their process. We relinquish our tight hold and our need to control in our relationships. We take responsibility for ourselves. We allow others to do the same. We detach with the understanding that life is unfolding exactly as it needs to for others and ourselves. The way life unfolds is good, even when it hurts. And ultimately, We can benefit from even the most difficult situations. We do this with the understanding that a power greater than ourself is in charge and all is well. Today, I will apply the concept of detachment to the best of my ability in my relationships. If I can't let go completely, I'll try to hang on loosely.
Thanks a lot, Kat. That's our opening charge for today. So today we're going to talk about defining detachment and have some questions to play around with that. And then, what is detachment and what it is and what it isn't. We're going to give you some examples about that. And we'll have our spiritual segment on detachment and where we can find that in the spiritual realm in life and what are the benefits. So where do you want to go, Kath, from here?
Well, I don't know. Let's just, for a minute, let's just talk about what do you think detachment is? Detaching love, detachment.
Yeah, when I think of detachment, to me, I was thinking about to detach is to uncouple. Mm. You know, if I'm going to detach, I'm going to uncouple. Maybe detach would be letting go of something. I'm detaching from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking.
So what do you think it is like when you have a kid, you know, who's addicted? What do you think detaching is then?
Well, if I'm thinking about detaching with an addict in my life,
yeah,
whether it's a kid or a spouse or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Are you thinking about a kid?
An addict kid for now.
All right, let's go with addict kid detaching.
Mm-hmm. What would that look like?
To me, right now, what I'm thinking is, is somehow maybe detaching from that kid's life a little bit, I guess. You know, not being.
I don't know. What I think it is detaching from the outcome of their choices.
Of their choices.
So if they get in a car accident and, you know, have some fines, then I think that they need to take care of that financially themselves and make all the calls. And so I think detachment for me would be that I don't pay for any of that and I don't get involved in it.
Okay. So kind of backing off a little bit and letting the addict in your life have some consequences.
Consequences.
So I'm detaching from
that. Yes.
I hear what you're saying.
Or another way that I think of it is sometimes when you're connected, too connected to a person, if they're having a good day, then you're having a good day. If they're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. So it's kind of detaching from their emotional position and their emotional mood and making sure that you're choosing to have your own emotional mood and reactions for the day. So you're not so dependent on that.
Okay, so I'm detaching emotionally, so I'm so connected into there that you're saying my reality, my feelings are all dependent upon that child and what, you know. And I'm thinking about if it's an addict, and you started with a kid, with children,
children.
Because I say if I had a 16, and there's a lot of 16, 14, 15, 16 year olds out there who are addicts right now,
right?
That are
true.
Really doing drugs. So I guess there's like you still have to kind of stay involved in some way, a lot.
Yeah.
But so the detachment may look different than for how do I detach with a 14, 15, 16, 17 year old compared
child,
to my adult 18, 19, 20, 21.
Or a spouse or a friend.
Or a spouse who now is in their 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yeah. So one time we were talking about spouses and, you know, what if your spouse is the soul winner? Soul provider in the family.
Yes.
And yet that's the person that's addicted. So how do you have detachment and everything with them? I mean, you can't tell them you want a separate bank account because you don't make any money. So it's like, what do you do with that?
Yeah, and if they're using up all the money for their drugs, and it's definitely impacting your home and your family, and it's like, what's detachment look in that relationship?
Right.
What's it going to look like? How far can I detach? I need money.
I mean, so, I guess maybe you have to get a job or you have to talk to your addicted spouse about the situation and say you're going to need some separate funds or
something? I don't know. Can you have, automatic deposit into a checking account that's in your name only?
I don't know.
So your spouse's check would go all the way to a checking account with your name on it only?
Yeah.
And then you would have to, give your spouse money instead, and yet they're the person who's working and earning it.
And they're probably not going to agree to that. Yeah, so that's a hard one.
I'm hoping we're hitting, some reality with some of our listeners out there who say, that's exactly where I stand at. My house is falling apart. I barely have food on the table because my addict is, wasting all of our money.
I know.
On this. So, yeah.
It's not an easy. There's no set answers,
Yeah.
But we're just going to hope to give you some ideas in this show about what detachment is.
Yeah.
And different ways to detach and the benefits of detachment. And hopefully it'll help you all.
Yeah. When I think of detaching from coworkers or friends, that would be a little easier because they're not hitting your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
But it still may be hard, especially if it's a family member. So, again, they may not be hitting your bank account, but they're family members. And that's going to cause a lot of stress on a family.
Yeah. And, if you have a brother, I know Jessica has a brother.
Yeah, addicted on heroin.
Yeah,
and
she struggles with that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How do I... deal with that, mm-hmm. Because I love my sibling. I love my brother or sister. And, how much is involvement and how much shouldn't I be involved? And what does that detachment going to look like?
So. Plus, I had a friend, who was an alcoholic. And I actually had to, she doesn't live around here, but I actually had to ask her that I wouldn't talk to her while she was drinking.
Okay. So you mean you literally said to her,
I said, if you're drinking, I'm not going to be able to talk to you. And she did not like that at all.
She didn't like it.
No.
And then
I knew that she could fool me.
Yeah. Could drink and then she's not completely inebriated. She could talk to you.
I told her that, if
you picked up on it or caught it, you would just say, all right, I got to go. Or
some really good friends of mine just recently, because their addict is not taking his detox serious and coming out the day after and using again, and he's done that 3 or 4 times. They've decided to have no contact with him until he has decided he's going to stay in recovery.
And that's their son?
Which kudos to them. Yeah, so they decided that the emotional up and down over the last month or two of detox, and then 2 seconds later he's in rehab, but then he uses again. So they've asked him not to call until he's really serious about staying clean and in recovery, which that's a really hard call for them
that,
to make.
Yeah, that I could say.
But the emotional ups and downs was too much for them to take.
Right. So they've detached.
They've detached.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
So we hope tonight as we go through and define what that means to be detached, that this will help you.
Yeah.
Help you be able to find strength to detach once you understand how much do you need to detach.
Exactly.
So what is healthy detachment? Because there's actually what we'd call emotional abuse for children if you're too far detached, mm-hmm. with your children. You know, mm-hmm. people do that with their little young children. They're not there for them emotionally.
True.
And so that's actually abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So you get too detached. So what is the
But hopefully a little kid's not going to be on drugs.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the whole realm of attachment and detachment takes a whole spectrum.
Right.
From the extreme on one end where it becomes abuse for little children if you're not there for them emotionally.
Right.
To the other side where you're so attached to somebody, your whole reality and life is based on where they're at.
So you can use this in all avenues of life, not just with addictions. It goes all the way around.
Right.
So.
All right, so that was our welcome, our charge. There was just some discussion about attachment and detachment, and hopefully it's helped spur your thoughts. And matter of fact, if you have any thoughts that you want to share now that we got you going there, you can go to Family and Recovery's Facebook and check us out there. Just type in our City of Angels, Family and Recovery, and you'll find our Facebook page. We'd love you to go there and hit like. and then, you know, leave, post some thoughts.
Leave thoughts. We're dying for thoughts. We're dying for interaction. So
that's what Facebook's for. It's an interactive website where we can get out there with some stuff. My wife and I are posting thoughts out there and helps and so on. And we'll attach some thoughts out there for you guys.
About this show.
About this show and other shows. So you just go out there to our Facebook page. If you want to email us, you can email us at Kathy and Bill at City of Angels.
I don't know.
All right, wait. It's cityofangels.com.
I don't know. You're the one who did that.
So, yeah, and you could turn around and email us at Kathy and Bill at cityofangelsnj.org. And we'd love to hear from you. Matter of fact, if you go to our Families and Recovery page on the City of Angels website, our email link is there, and you can just click on it and email some thoughts and questions. And we really invite some interaction so it can help us with future shows. So with that done, we've done our welcome, our charge. We've got some interactive just dialogue, get you stimulated. We're going to go on to our next section, which is we're going to define and come up with some questions about what is detachment, what it is and what it isn't. All right?
So, Bill, let's see. Before we define and give a little history of detachment, let's see if we have to detach. So I have a few questions here. So how many times have you gotten emotionally involved with someone or something against your better judgment? You know, we do that all the time.
When you look back and you say, why did I do this?
Yeah.
Why did I drive all the way to Philadelphia for my addicted loved one?
Yeah.
You know, what kind of insanity is that? I drove all the way to Philadelphia to make sure he had a baseball hat on his head so he could stay out in the cold.
Right.
You know, I'm driving all the way to New York City to make sure he has a blanket. Mm-hmm. And then you ask yourself, does this seem like extreme?
Right.
You know, how many times you get emotionally involved with something that, against your will, and you say, why am I even doing this? I feel like I've been manipulated.
Or in other times, if you find yourself getting angry, frustrated, disappointed by really small issues, it's probably meaning you're like really past the point. You're just like upset because your pen fell on the floor. Well, you're probably really upset about a lot more than that, and so you may need to detach.
Yeah, so that could be a sign that you need to detach, is because you think about how you're emotionally relating to life around you, and you seem to be overreacting to everything. And if little things are frustrating you and you're overreacting to them, then that could be a sign that maybe I'm overly attached to something. Something else is going on here that I'm making such a big deal out of it. As a matter of fact, if you go to our April show, April 17th show, you'll see it was about acting and reacting.
Yeah.
And we define that a little more. So the point is, when we're looking at detachment, attachment, if that's happening to you, you may be overly involved, overly attached to the situation.
Yeah, this one here goes along with what we were saying in the middle. How many times have your mood swings happened to be high and low depending on the addict in your life? If they're having a good day, you're having a good day. If they're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. So that may be another sign that you need to detach.
Yeah, yeah.
How often in certain situations have you told yourself that the next time you'll stay relaxed and calm, and yet the next time this situation reoccurs, you forget what you told yourself?
Yeah, right. You're telling yourself to stay relaxed and calm, which means you're saying to yourself, I know I'm overreacting.
Correct.
Which means I know I'm overly involved.
Detach.
Which means I know I'm overly attached to a situation because I'm reacting to it in such a way.
Right.
And you're even telling yourself, well, next time I'll do better. I won't. So that tells you that you may need to detach.
Yes.
Yeah. Or what you say to yourself, have you ever said to yourself, I'll never do that again. You know, that inconsiderate person in my life, I'll never go out of my way to New York again for them. They bring them up a blanket. I'm never going to. You know, I just keep calling them out sick from work. Oh, call. And I get no love. I get nothing back from them. They just still use it. How many times have you said, I won't do that again?
And then next
week. And then the next week you do it again.
Because you're feeling unsettled, because you're too attached to the person, you end up doing it again because you have to calm yourself down and make yourself feel better.
Yeah, yeah. It's really about you
and
being able to detach. So, Kath, give me some, like, we're going to do some synonyms. for you know, detaching. So listen to the words. These are placing other words in a place of detachment, so it helps you define it and understand it. So, for instance, read me off slowly. So, read me off some words.
To separate, to free, to remove, divide, isolate, cut off, sever, loosen, segregate, disconnect.
Yeah, so these are words that would help you enriching your understanding of detachment.
And I like these because each of them represents a different stage in a detachment process.
Yeah.
You know, you might not isolate, you know, from an addict right away in the beginning, but eventually after time goes long, you may find that you need to limit your time with them.
Yeah, you could turn around and play with each one of these words and come up with how you could use them and how they would help you understand detachment in your life. For instance, separate. There's levels of separation for detachment. Mm-hmm. So, and like you're saying, and then it goes all the way to extreme, isolate. And you just shared about the one family who just came to places. No, you're our son because you just keep playing a game. In rehab, come out and use. In rehab, come out and use. And you know that you're manipulating us. You know that you're not really caring for yourself to stick with it and do the program. And yet that's playing emotional havoc on us. And we're becoming all kinds of upset emotionally that we have to detach from you. And you just shared the one example where the family's saying, don't call us.
Don't call us.
Don't come to my house. Don't come sit on my...
Until you've taken serious your recovery.
Yeah. You go in rehab and you do the whole stint. Mm-hmm. You just don't come out in 30 days or whatever. You do the whole stint until you've completed that part of your life and shown some success in that. Then we could re-discuss engagement.
Yes.
So, and one of the words was here is disengage. So, for instance, when you think of detaching, we all detach things. You may detach a coupon from a newspaper. Mm-hmm. You may detach the bottom part of a form that you need to fill out and submit in. See, that's detachment.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like physical piece of paper. You're detaching something, fill out a form, detach the bottom and submit it in. But then I'm thinking about detaching yourself from a problem, an emotional detachment. To be more objective from it. See, some people say, I can't think clearly because I'm involved in it. I'm too engaged in something. I can't think clearly. So I detach myself a little bit from that problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes, again, these are levels. I may ask somebody else, would you help me with this, which will help me detach? Matter of fact, I may go so far to say, would you just take this? I'm not even going to address it. It's yours. Can you take this from me? See, so I'm detaching. So detach could be from emotional reasons to be more objective. And then, of course, you could detach. Like, for instance, here's an example. He saw his father detach himself from the group and walk away. And that's like physically. So you could use emotional detachment and physical detachment in relationship to the addict and loved one in your life.
Absolutely.
You know. And when I think of detachment, what I'm thinking about right off the bat, when I'm thinking about detachment, it's kind of associated with step one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which says, I am powerless over another person in my life, the addict and loved one that I have in my life, the situation or thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm powerless over that. So if you're going to get into detachment, then it is associated with step one.
It is.
And it's really a process then. It's a process of we have to learn how to detach and to separate ourselves in healthy manners from that which we don't have the power and control over, our loved ones. And it's really about us.
Yeah.
And it's about us coming to a place to believe a higher power can help that loved one through their turmoil instead of me being so emotionally connected to everything that loved one is about in their life that my happiness is predicated upon them calling out sick or something. It's, you know, so that's what I'm thinking about there. So when I think about it, when we go back to history, we look at some of the history of detachment, we find that it really comes out of Al-Anon. People with alcoholic friends and family members, they pioneered the idea. It was called detachment with love because you still love the person in your life, but you're going to have to detach from it. And that's really where it came. It was a core principle of Al-Anon. And it really was that the alcoholic cannot learn from their mistakes if they are being overprotected. Meaning we are protecting them from what? from any fallout, right? Mm-hmm. I call them out sick from work. I go pay their fine at the station. I do this. Yes. I take them their hat in Philadelphia or New York so they're not cold, or a blanket. And so in our sickness, listen, in our sickness, because we want to be loved, because we can't trust that life will lead them on to a healthier path, we get overly involved. And so the Al-Anon principle of detachment with love was saying that the alcoholic or addict cannot learn from their mistake because we are over-functioning mm-hmm. in their lives and they're mm-hmm. under-functioning, which is our November show. So go back and look at our November show, and we talk about the pitfalls of over-functioning and the under-functioning addict.
You want to listen to. Yeah, I love that show. I love Gary and Beth. It's so funny because she's so over.
She was over-functioning Gary's, and you were saying earlier, Gary couldn't function at all because of her over-functioning.
Yeah.
So I hope you're getting a drift here.
Yeah, so in the process of detaching, you could ask yourself a couple of questions here. What are your needs beyond the needs of the alcoholic or the addict? How can you take care of yourself even if the person you love chooses not to get help right away?
Yeah, and I'm thinking when you talk about your needs,
yeah,
your needs that are not associated with that addict or loved one.
Right.
Because you know what we say? We turn around and say, well, my needs is for them to be doing better in life.
Right.
So if you're asking me, Bill, what are my needs beyond, no, it's your needs beyond them.
Yes.
That means you have to start turning around and say, what are my needs in life if this person was not in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You may need to get a job. You may need to take care of yourself. You may need to take care of your spiritual aspect of your life, something that you've neglected, your health, your spirituality,
mm-hmm.
your friendships and relationships. What about your needs of socialization and camaraderie and being productive in life and enjoying life and vacation? All of this you've neglected over the years because you're so engrossed in this loved one. So that's what Kathy's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and another one is detachment with love means caring enough about another one to let them learn from their mistakes. And it also means you have to be responsible for your own welfare and make decisions without ulterior motives, the desire to control other ones, other people. So we're really talking about taking care of ourselves for ourselves, which in the long run will help others.
Yeah, that's some big thoughts there. Listen to that section over and over and over till you understand this attachment and your need for detaching. All right? Thank you very much. We've done a welcome here. We've given you our charge. Kathy and I ad-libbed with some questions and just kind of dialogued a little bit about what we thought detachment was before we really got into our research and information for you. And now what we're going to do is go into our next section, which is detachment, what it is and what it isn't. So we're asking you to detach, right? And we've already given some examples. We discussed it. So I wonder if any of you out there are feeling angry, furious maybe, pissed off at the world, at the addict, at God, at other people. And you say pissed off about what? Well, maybe you're pissed off because we're asking you to take the next step to get healthy instead of the addict. Like, you know, we're always chasing the addict around, aren't we? We're always chasing them. Where are they at? Where are they at? Are they hot? Are they cold? Are they good or bad? Are they using it or not? Where are they at? I don't know where they're at tonight. Are they getting their meals? Are they eating? And we're always chasing the addict. And now we're asking you to detach a little bit here. And you're saying, more? I got to give more? This whole idea of detaching with love, it's just one more thing I have to do for the addict. You know, it's like, why should I have to do this? It's like I take one more bit of myself, right? It's like, here, let me cut my hand off now. You're asking me to detach with love. It's another thing I have to do. It's like, here, let me chop my hand off and give that to the addict, Bill. It's just another thing I'm giving in to this addict. Will I with what? Will I ever get anything back from it? What's my return? You know, we call that short supply thinking. Short supply thinking is like, you know, it doesn't sound like it could add up to anything. It doesn't look like I could get anything from it. Short supply. You know, but how much is it going to cost me, Bill? Two arms and a leg now to detach? How hard is this? How complicated? But what I want to say is this. The program teaches us that if we are truly to change, we must take a leap of faith and make choices because they are right, not because they feel good. It's not because it would go naturally along with our natural disposition, because our natural disposition has been doing what you've already been doing all this time. chasing them, following them, worrying about them, angry at them. And so now we're going to make choices so we could step back and stop doing those reactions to them. So we're going to make right choices of how do I learn to detach emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever, in whatever ways I have to, and to let go of the outcome. Because we're going to you're changing the dance. You know, walking away, detaching and walking away is not giving up. It means detaching with love, regardless of how the addict responds to that.
Yeah, Bill. Yeah, I see how someone could be feeling that way, that's for sure. You know, with addicts in their life or with other frustrating people.
Yeah, now we're asking them to do one more thing.
Yeah,
let's do
another
thing. Another
thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're really trying to encourage you that the things that you've been doing by being angry and resentful, it's probably not working for you and it's the same old thing. So we're trying to bring a different thing for you to do. So I have a quote here from Melody Beattie's book, which is really good. Detachment is not a cold, hostile withdrawal, a resigned, despairing acceptance of anything life and people throw at our way. It's not a Pollyanna-like ignorant bliss, a shirking of our true responsibilities to ourselves or others, a severing of our relationship, nor is it a removal of our love and concern. It doesn't mean that we need to be unkind or ignore and isolate the person.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't mean that we don't care. We care a lot, which is probably why we're frustrated. It's not an excuse for treating another person cruel. It's not banishing them from my life who fails to live up to my expectations, although asking them to not be in your life for a period of time while they're still using could be an option.
It's not an excuse for treating people cruelly because,
exactly.
See, that's going to be your knee-jerk reaction. Oh, okay, I got to detach, and you just treat that person bad and cruelly.
Exactly.
Let's say I got to leave work, or I'm retiring from work, or I'm leaving for a new job, and I don't know how to break off that relationship with certain people I work with because I'm going to a new job. You ever notice you end up fighting with them the month before you leave?
It's true.
Because you really don't know how to leave on good terms, and so you create this negative experience, which makes it easier for you to leave. And we're saying detachment's not like that. You could detach with love.
Yeah, like I said, it's not ignoring somebody or giving them icy silence or that refusal to make eye contact or giving them the eyes, you know, like we've gotten from our parents sometimes.
Oh, yeah, the evil eye.
You know, the evil eye. And it's not disregarding the ordinary courtesies of life. It's not that. It's not withdrawing our emotional support. Or intentionally setting boundaries to create strife and conflict.
Kind of what I just was saying.
Yeah,
yep.
It's not punishing the alcoholic for their behavior by withdrawing affection during periods of sobriety. And it isn't feeling anger or resentment, which I know that's what we've been talking about here. Because sometimes we get to a very self-righteous position, convinced that we're right and feel smug condemnation towards the addict or their action. Our thinking becomes distorted by trying to force a solution.
Yeah.
And we become irritable and unreasonable without knowing it.
Yeah.
But
so
these are all the things that detachment isn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's going to be tough for you. So think about it. What we're asking you, you heard all these things, listen to this over and over again, this section, but you hear what we're asking. We're saying we're going to detach with love. You're saying, oh, crap, I don't know how to do this. The only way I know how to do it is to, if I'm going to detach from somebody, they're my enemy.
Right.
If I'm going to detach from somebody, I have to not like them.
That's not what we're saying.
Yeah, if I'm going to detach from somebody, I got to give them the glaring eye. That's not what we're saying.
That's not it.
Mm-mm. Loving, kind, gracious, respectful to them.
Right.
All of that comes out. So we're going to talk on that. Then what is it, Bill, if I'm not supposed to detach from this negative way?
Right.
How do I detach from a positive way? And that's what we're going to go into next.
Yes. But now we're going to go to what is detachment. Detachment is releasing or detaching from a person or a problem with love. We mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically disengage ourselves from unhealthy entanglements with another person's life and responsibility from the problem we cannot solve. It's disengaging. You see, your son doesn't have a car to get to an apartment or to get to an appointment. So you say, well, how are you going to get there instead of offering to help them all the time? You're saying, well, how are you going to get there? And then he's going to take a bus or whatever.
Yeah, because you know what I noticed? We're always analyzing the addict.
Yeah.
Where are they doing? Where are they at? What should they be doing? What shouldn't they be doing? We're always trying to solve their all their lives, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and then it also means unwrapping ourselves emotionally from the damaging aspects of the involvement with the addict, because it's very damaging for us to attach to an addict. It's a process of learning to see things objectively, learning to unhook yourself emotionally and from the chemical dependent system.
Yeah, I think that's big, is unhooking yourself from their system.
Yeah.
Because they're playing you. Mm-hmm. You know, they come crying at your door. Mm-hmm. They call with a problem. And the way they present the problem makes you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to fix it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Mom, Dad, I just want to let you know I just crashed a car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's and the way they're saying it, you're like, are you all right? Are you well, yeah, I'm okay. Hold on. I'll be right there. Wait, where are you at? I'm coming. Where are you? It's like they hook you right in.
Whereas in reality, what you should say is, oh, are you okay? And then, so what are you going to do now? You know, ask them questions. Do you have a friend or somebody that can come help you?
Yeah. You know, we always act on their best interest. If you think about it, I would say the way we codependents are so dysfunctional that 90% of our lives are wrapped up in the people that we're chasing, our addict in our lives. Instead, how do I learn to act on my own best interest? How do I detach and start acting like other people who just go on with their lives and enjoy their lives, regardless of the problems that are going on in their lives? That's unhooking yourself. Let me ask you, why don't you make your life 90% of your attention instead of your addict? And your addict be 10, 15% of your attention. Why I think a lot of us don't do it? We feel guilty. Maybe we did drugs years ago. Maybe we got a divorce and feel it's our fault that our addict is acting the way they do. Maybe we neglected them. Maybe we weren't emotionally there for them. Maybe, you see what I'm saying? And so I feel guilt and shame. And so I feel like I owe them everything. And the way they are today is because it's my fault. And so I stay hooked into this sick cycle instead of taking care of myself. So why don't you take care of yourself? If you have done those things that you are not happy with, you do have to come to a place of forgiving yourself and saying, you know what, I'm better than this. I'm better than the way I'm treating myself and allowing myself to be manipulated and abused and used. And I should be a healthy person taking care of myself. So what is good for you then? So you got to start thinking about, how am I treating myself so unhealthy by allowing myself to be sucked in with this addict? And what would it look like if I detached from this addict, regaining control of your emotions? Because your emotions are so hung up with them. You're so guilt-ridden and shame-based. And you feel like I guilty that I have to do all this for the addict. Well, how do you regain control of those emotions? How can you put them down and accept that you might have made mistakes in the past? Taking responsibility of how you respond. Detachment. So, Bill, give me a thought. Here's the thought. Detachment is based on the premise that each person is responsible for themselves. So if you could say, yeah, okay, my addict has to learn to be responsible for themselves. And therefore, I give myself permission to back away. Maybe I have engaged them too much because I feel guilt and shame from the past. But the bottom line is, I'm not helping them by the way I'm staying engaged. You see, we can't solve the problems that aren't ours to solve. They have to, and you say, well, what do you mean? I could solve the problem of them going to court. I'll give them the ride. That's not the point. The real problem your addict has is growing up, maturing, and taking care of themselves instead of mommy or daddy taking care of them at 30 years old. So they have to take care of themselves. So your problem can't solve the problems that aren't yours to solve, and their problem is for them to take care of themselves instead of you taking care of them. So maybe, matter of fact, you might have heard Kathy and I say it. Why don't you ask them, so what's your solution? How are you going to fix it? How are you going to get better? How are you going to take care of yourself? And throw that on them and then just encourage them. They say, I don't know. Say, well, think about it and come back to me. We allow people to be who they are. Detaching means I allow my wife here to be who she is. And you know what? She's different from me. I don't try to control my wife and make her think the way I think. I love golf. She doesn't love golf.
What about when you tell me I have to vacuum and do the dishes?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a joke. I just want to let you know. No, because at work, it used to be funny because at work, I'd be sitting around with the guys, right? And my wife would call. And I'm sitting there on the phone and my wife would call and the guys are all standing around my desk. And then I would all of a sudden say to her while they're standing there, I say, and make sure you get them dishes done. And I want a meal on the table before I get home. And then I would hang up. She'd laugh. And I'd hang up. And all the guys would look at me and say, uh-huh, sure. Like, that's what's going to happen,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is to give other people freedom. So I think it's also that we give ourselves the same freedom.
Yeah.
You know, live our lives to the best of our ability. And we try to figure out what we can change. And then realize what we can't change. So it really reminds me of the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah.
Accepting the things, you know, accept the things I cannot change and change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely correct. People who possess a detachment are calm. You ever notice you're not calm? You ever notice that?
Everything's when you're trying to control another person, calm.
And we're very chaotic.
Yeah, definitely.
Aren't we chaotic? It's almost like we like chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost like the addict. We like being crazy. I like worrying. I like running around. I like chasing them to Philly and New York. I like to know where they're at. I like to know what's going on. I like to know what they... And we get ourselves so wound up. I want you to know, that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
People who have healthy detachment are calm. They accept whatever happens. They accept the good and they accept the bad equally because their minds are in a state of balance and peace, trusting their higher power for the outcome.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking that we are God, I will save them. I will fix them. You've been trying it for years. How successful have you been?
Right.
And to come to that state of peace and say, I let go. I give this to my higher power. I give this to God. And I'm going to trust him to work on it. And I'm going to learn. I'm going to practice what Kathy is teaching me here about detaching.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things is I think detachment means present moment living. Living the moment. Because otherwise you're thinking about tomorrow, the next day, what might happen. Whereas if you get back to being centered, live in the moment, say that whatever's happening now, I can handle, I can deal with, they can handle it, they can deal with it. So it's just a matter of staying in the moment enjoying today.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about staying in the moment for you? Like, let me go to dinner with Kathy and Bill. And you'll sit there at that dinner and you'll be wondering where your addict is. You'll be wondering what they're doing, what's happening, where are they at, what do I have to do tomorrow, what do I got to do? You're not relaxing.
Right.
You're not living in a moment.
Mm-mm.
Detachment involves, as I said, accepting reality, ready, and accepting the facts. And maybe you don't want to accept the reality and facts that your addict is struggling right now in their lives. It requires faith in ourselves and in God and other people about the destiny of what's going to come out of it. You're going to trust that it will take the course it needs to take. The reality is accepting the facts. And you know what that means? It means realizing and remembering that in the end, your addict, your marriage, your friends may not make it.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yes.
But that is what detachment is, but it's a hard one.
Absolutely. Ultimately, listen, we are powerless to control others anyway, really.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control them. You could try to manipulate them. You could try but you really can't control others. You haven't really controlled your addict.
Mm-mm.
They may at times look like you've controlled them and moved them in a certain way, and then they go back and use anyway. Most family members of an addicted person have been trying to change that person for a long time, and it hasn't worked. We are involved with other people, but we don't control them. We simply can't stop people from doing things if they choose to continue to do them.
It's true.
And you need to come to the fact that you have to accept where you are at in life and you have to accept about where the addict is in their lives right now. Regardless of how it came about, why it started, whose fault it is, it doesn't matter. They are an addict and you are all codependent. And in both of our sicknesses, us and ours, theirs and theirs, and we need to be healed and come to healing. So we have to accept that reality, and I know you don't want to, and you want to say, no, I got to fix them. I got to save them. I got to keep them. Then you'll stay sick, and you'll stay stuck for years to come.
And then you won't be happy either, and you'll start getting sick and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So think about what we're saying here, what it is and what detachment isn't. And now we'll go into our spiritual segment. All right, let's take a look at our spiritual segment tonight about detachment. When we think of detachment, there's also attachment. That's why we're talking about detachment, because we have attachments to things, and we can have a healthy attachment or an unhealthy attachment to things, and that's why we're talking about detaching when we become unhealthy. You wonder, you know, when we think about detaching, you say something that makes you wonder if you will keep having it or if you're going to lose it, whatever it may be, the addict in your life that you don't want to lose. You know, I say, I may want this or I would like to have this, but can I accept not getting it? Well, no, that's why I'm overly attached to it. And if I'm overly attached to it, that I can't let it go, that creates insecurity. I'm insecure because it's not going to go the way I want. And that causes unhappiness. And so when attachment to anything will always, an unhealthy attachment to anything will always create insecurity. No matter how much of it you have. Matter of fact, many people who have the most of whatever they want are the most insecure because they're going to afraid they're going to lose it. See, so if you're attached, overly unhealthy attached to something, you project emotions of fear, doubt. Your cravings to have it, to stay attached to your addict, because why? You want them to love you? That it actually has the opposite outcome to it. It drives them crazy and pushes them away. You're operating from a position of worry, fear, and doubt instead of serenity, trust, and faith. You've heard of that saying, let go and let God. Detachment is based upon resting in complete grace of God and knowing that He is always working for your greatest good. Let me give you an example. Imagine you found a house that you're looking for and you like this house. You love this house and you want it. And as you move forward to secure that house, it appears that the odds are in your favor to get it. Yet, at the last minute, somebody else outbids you and gets a house. If you are unhealthy in your attachment to the idea of having that house, you're going to be driving yourself crazy. But if you are detached, a healthy detachment, then you trust that what? Another opportunity, and the right opportunity, is on its way. So it's the same thing with the addict in your life or anything in your life. I could detach enough to trust the outcome of their life and that our higher power and God has that higher, best interest for that person. However, if you are so attached to getting that house or a job or your addict healthy for whatever reason, so you're unhealthily attached to them. So for whatever, maybe you had a marriage failed. Remember we were saying earlier? And because your marriage failed, you feel guilty and shame for your addict. So you try to give them. Oh, I got to take care. I got to give them money. I got to take care of them. I got to bail them out. Maybe for whatever reason that you're so overly attached is because you are very needy. And for some reason, in your head, you have the fact that you have to have this addict loving you. Or maybe you failed and did drugs. Or you messed up somewhere and you're living out of guilt for whatever reason that you're unhealthily attached to the addict in their life. And it causes you a lot of anxiety, causes you stress, which means you're looking for this addict, somebody outside you, a source outside you to fulfill your happiness. You can't be happy unless this addict loves you the right way, unless this addict does what you think they should, unless this addict gets healthy and conquers the addiction, you cannot be happy. If you understand this law of healthy and unhealthy attachments, then you won't feel compelled to force the solutions. You see, you're forcing that addict, you're forcing your solutions on it. But if you understand attachment and detachment, and you can detach in love, and trust your higher power, then you will let it unfold in the way that it needs to unfold. When you force solutions on others, on other people's problems, on the addict's problems, when you force the solutions, actually you only create new problems. And you get in a sick cycle between you and the addict. If you have truly come to believe, and that was our May show, so go back and listen to our last month's show in May. If you have truly come to believe that God can restore you, create healthy attachments in you, you will wait patiently and in faith for the right solutions to rise in your life, and you'll trust God that He will raise the right solutions in your addict's life. He doesn't need you. The Bible says much about attachments and detachments. Let me read you something from 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Remember we were talking about love is and isn't a segment ago? Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That sounds a lot different from some of the detachment isn't when we had glaring eyes and mean, nasty looks and detaching in anger from the addict. And no, this doesn't say that. Now, for example, the Bible gives a lot of examples of detachment. God asked Abraham in the Old Testament, the Torah, from our Jewish friends from the Old Testament. God asked Abraham to detach and follow God to a new country, leaving his old country and maybe relatives and friends back there. And trusting God would lead and guide him, so he had to detach from those attachments. We think about Jesus. Jesus detached when he sacrificed his life. He let go of his attachments to life and sacrificed his life, fulfilling his Father's redemptive plans of salvation for all of mankind. And then Jesus talks about us detaching, right? He says this, listen, he says, it's a quote from Matthew 16, whoever wishes to follow me, Jesus, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. And what he means by deny himself means that part of ourselves that's unhealthy, so that we could become attached in a positive, healthy way to Jesus and unattached, detached from these worldly things that just grasp us and tear us apart and tear us down. He gave us examples. Jesus gave us example. There was a story of a rich young ruler in Luke 18 that comes to Jesus and say, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. Now this was a test because the rich young ruler thought he was already detached and that he already had been healthily attached to God. But God revealed his heart, that he had overemphasis on money, that the love of money, because money itself is not evil, the love of money. So he was unhealthy in his attachment to money. And Jesus found that out and revealed that to the rich young ruler. And we say, wow, this is a hard saying. You know, this sounds hard to me. Sure, it sounds hard to me. Matter of fact, Jesus had told a lot of his disciples one time, he says, you know what? I am the answer. I am the solution. And the Bible says from that day forward, many of those disciples no longer followed him. So it's the same with us. Jesus saying, you're overattached, unhealthily attached. I am the solution. Can you trust me to take care of your addict's life or to lead and guide in his life to find solutions, and it's not through you? Maybe you'll be mad at me and you'll turn around and say, you know what? That's a bunch of baloney. I'm not letting go. And like those disciples, you'll walk away from Jesus. What's interesting is those with the healthiest attachments and detachment, they learn how to detach from forcing their own way. They actually have the greatest influence for good on their own lives and other people's lives. Here's one last story. Jesus was teaching the people, right? Jesus was talking to the masses. His disciples brought the message that his mother and his brothers were desiring to see him. He knew what was in his brother's and mother's heart. And he answered and said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother?" And he stretched forth his hands and he pointed toward the disciples and the people around him. And he says, "Behold, you're my mother. You're my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, and my sister." And they said, "Well, that's kind of callous." But you notice you had to see the one sentence. He says he knew what was in their hearts. And here's what was happening. You see, Jesus was working very hard to heal people, to heal, right, all the sick people around him. And some of his friends feared that he could not handle that. It was going to be too much of a strain on him. So his brothers heard this, and they also heard that the Pharisees wanted to blame Jesus that he was working through the power of Satan. They were also, therefore, being getting negative feedback because they were Jesus's family. So people were criticizing them and kind of giving reproach toward them. So they decided that they must persuade Jesus to cease his labors to save people and to heal them. And what they did is they took Jesus's mother, they convinced Jesus's mother to go with them, thinking that through Jesus's love for his mother, that would help them sway Jesus to stop his ministry. So Jesus understood this. He seen the unhealthy sickness of his family, and he detached. Jesus's heart is really full of kindness and love toward his family and loved ones. He appreciated their well-intentioned meanings to help him. But their well-intentioned meanings were unhealthy, and they would be negative on his ministry. Their short-sightedness. His brothers could not fathom that his mission of what he had to accomplish to save the salvation of individuals and heal those immediately around him. So Jesus had to detach from them. If Jesus and the God of heaven could detach from his family and allow them to go through their process, put up healthy boundaries and back them off, do you think if you let go, the God of heaven could do that in your life and give you the power? Things that you need to detach from would be disappointment, hurts, accusations, sadness, taking offense at what the addict does in your life, fear of negative outcomes for your addict. Remember I said earlier, they may not make it. You may have detaching from judging others and bitterness and resentful. The Bible says, cast your burdens on the Lord. He will sustain you. And then Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. I will take care of you. He says in John, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So how are you going to move ahead? And how are you going to go forward? How are you going to create this peaceful place for you to exist in, to detach from all the craziness? First, you got to realize you are powerless, that God is powerful. And the addict's answers come from God and them working together. And it's in you setting healthy boundaries. And through you setting healthy boundaries, you regain your godly purpose to love them still, even if they do not listen to your solutions, by not giving in to them with your supposed answers that you think you have. They probably won't take it anyway because it isn't their solutions. It's your solutions. They have no stake in the answer that you keep giving them. It's not their own. They can't own it because you keep forcing it on them. So what can you do? How can I detach? Leave the room. Take a walk. Hit some golf balls. Shoot some basketball. Take a bike ride. Watch children play in a nearby park. Go away to get a cup of coffee. Read a good book. Take in an Arnon meeting. Seek counseling. Hang with a friend. Pray. Regain your balance by detaching and letting the issue go and let your addict work on their issues. Take a deep breath. Pray some more. Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplications to God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Philippians 4:6.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot for that great spiritual lesson and how we learn that even Christ had to learn how to detach from various situations and how he taught it in the scriptures. In our show, we've talked about the definition of detachment, and then we went into some questions, and then we talked about what detachment isn't, that is not being unkind or isolating your addict, or that we don't care, but that detachment is learning to see things objectively, unwrapping ourselves emotionally. And we realize that detaching brings us to realize that we're all responsible for our own self. I think that this topic is so important that we probably should continue it next month. I think it's one of the hardest topics to comprehend and to practice. So we have some more stuff to learn for next month. We have steps to detach with love, the benefits of detachment, and we have some examples. And next month is our anniversary show, and so we might do a little bit of a recap about all of our shows and maybe have some guests. I don't know. Right now, we're still trying to figure out what we want to do. So please go out to our Facebook page, Families in Recovery, City of Angels Radio with Bill and Kathy, and look at the new web pages that Allison and Art worked on. Again, we thank them very much. If you need help right now, you can call City of Angels at 609-910-4942. And you can also look up our new webpage, www.coaradio.com and www.cityofangelsnewjersey.org. So until next time, God bless, and we'll talk to you in a month, okay? Take care. Bye.